The Ambitious Radio Network. Conversations with ambitious entrepreneurs and thought leaders. Are you an entrepreneur, startup junkie, or just someone interested in improving their leadership skills? If you're looking to be motivated, inspired, and uncover what it takes to get to the next level, listening to Ambitious Radio will be well worth the investment of your time. We have weekly engaging conversations with today's most influential thought leaders and entrepreneurs as they discuss their successes, failures, tipping points, and other priceless information that you can apply immediately after listening. Now, here's your host, Doug Parker.
All right, we're back on the Ambitious Radio Network, and today we're going to be speaking with Tommy Carter. And Tommy is the owner and founder of CrossFit Immortal, located in Pleasantville, New York. Tommy's a CrossFit Level 3 certified trainer and was recently named in 914 Inc. magazine as one of the most successful people under 30. So congrats on that. He was also named the best CrossFit coach in 2017 by Westchester Magazine. Tommy, welcome to the show, sir. How are you?
Doug, thank you so much for having me, man.
Yes, sir. Absolutely, man. Well, I tell you what, we were introduced by a mutual friend, and so Jay Emma was telling me about this guy that's really been working with him, and he's got his own business, and he's really passionate about, you know, success, but about exercise and being healthy and all these different things. But, you know, before we jump into all that, tell us a little bit about who you are. I mean, where you're from, where'd you grow up? I mean, really, who is Tommy?
Okay, good stuff. Born and raised in New York, Mount Pleasant, New York, which is a community in Westchester County. Ended up going to college, University of Albany, upstate New York. Graduated school. Originally had planned to go down the teaching path. I had studied history and sociology through college. When I got done with college, I was pretty done with school at that point, and becoming a teacher meant more school. So I looked for an alternative, landed a job working in Manhattan, working as a recruiter, or some people know it as like a headhunter. Essentially, companies would hire my company to fill jobs or openings within their company. Our niche was information technology, all tech-related positions. Did that for just about 5 years. Saw some success there. Worked for a great guy. Grew a team that was working under me, but just wasn't wasn't in love with that industry. Was always a fitness guy growing up, was always in the gym, played high school sports, just loved being in the gym. I heard about this CrossFit thing, and this is going back now probably like 2009, and then got involved with CrossFit just by being a member at a gym, and that just kind of opened up my world to fitness. It wasn't long after doing CrossFit that I was like, wow, this is just such a cool thing, and it had such a profound impact on me and changed my life, and, you know, changed the way I took care of myself and the way I ate and all that stuff. And I was like, I want to follow a career in this. Which led me to eventually opening up my own place.
Man, that's really cool. So now you said you went to school and you were thinking about, you know, becoming a teacher. So sure. Was there a situation where a teacher made an impact on your life growing up, and it's just something you really wanted to do, or what was the genesis there?
Well, to clarify, I was a horrible student all through high school and through college, B's and C's, and I always thought I wanted to be a teacher because of my mother. She was a teacher for I think over 35 years, and she, I mean, just had such a positive impact on me. And I also saw the life that she had. As you know, being a teacher, you get just a great lifestyle along with that, you know, with vacations and summers off and things like that. But she was just always very happy. And you know, she epitomized what it meant to follow your passion, you know. And I remember after 30 years of teaching, she was still up at night doing lesson plans for third graders, you know. So she was always going above and beyond, putting in the work, and I always admired that about her and admired her approach to teaching. So that was just what sparked my interest in becoming a teacher.
Gotcha. Now, let's talk about this for just a minute, because, you know, there's a lot of people out there that, you know, decide to go to school, and there's different things. And it, I noticed that you said, like, I actually finished school or something to that effect, you know, a little earlier, because there's a lot of people that, you know, they kind of hit the eject button. They get there and they're like, I'm out of here. You know, I'm gonna do whatever. And then there's other people that you know, become professional students and they're in school for 6, 7, 8 years or whatever.
Sure.
But it sounds like, you know, obviously that's something that, you know, you can really hang your hat on. You came through, you completed it, you went through. And I say that, I mean, I'm being serious, because I've never been to college day in my life, and that's a path you can take, and you can be successful by not going to school. But, you know, there's a certain, you know, well-roundedness of going to, you know, a university that does something else for you. But can you talk through, you know, was there ever a time where you're going through college and you just kind of wanted to quit and you're thinking, I don't really want to be a teacher anymore, and so I think I want to quit?
Sure.
Or did you ever have that thought?
I was always hungry to make money. I worked for my father all going through high school. And when I got to school, I met some amazing people up there and made some lifelong friends. But the being a student thing, it just wasn't for me. I remember actually calling my parents like 6 months into my freshman year and like, look, I want to come home. I want to start working again. And I'm so happy and I'm so grateful for my parents, because they pretty much set me straight. And they're like, look, your ass is staying there for 4 years and you're going to get your degree. I'm so happy that they were that way with me, because the experience there wouldn't trade it for anything. And as I mentioned, the relationships and friends I developed over those years, you know, priceless.
You know, and I want to kind of highlight that for just a moment, because, you know, one of the things, I had a guy on the show a while back, and his name is Patrick Bet David, Patrick David Bet. And so anyway, the guy's a beast in business, and you know, he was talking about school and different things, and he just sold his company for I think it was either 8 or 9 figures, whatever the number is. It's like the equivalent of something like $100 million plus. So I mean, the dude sold it for some
not
jack.
Too bad,
not too bad, not too bad. And he was an immigrant. He came here. He actually served in our military, and you know, hard working hustler. But he was talking about the current, you know, state of the education world and some of those things, and how, you know, you can blow a bunch of money. I mean, I got a daughter going to school right now, $170,000 for a 5-year master's, you know, straight through program. And luckily, you know, she's pretty smart. She's an athlete. She's got a leadership scholarship. So she's got a pretty good scholarship, but still, it's a lot of money, even after the significant scholarship. And so, you know, his bend is like, for most people, college, you know, maybe it's not the right thing. And, you know, but I like hearing that opposing, you know, side of things, because, you know, you got into it. You're like, hey, I just want to quit. I want to go back to work. I want to make it happen. But now you fast forward a few years forward. You hung in there. You've accomplished something. And you've got an education that you can always lean back on, the experience and obviously having the knowledge from going through that. And you've gone out, and like many people, it sounds like if you were like a history type major or something, you're probably not applying history a whole lot to this this CrossFit stuff. But
no,
you know, you still have that education and to lean back on. So that's some really, really great information. And like I said,
yeah,
there's a bunch of different ways. I was talking to a guy the other day that his wife is Japanese, and he lived in Japan for quite some time. And he was telling me kind of some of the differences between the Japanese and Americans. And he, you know, having excellent products are on both of our agendas, if you will, or services. However, how we get to there is significantly different. So the end may be the same basic product, if you will, but, you know, they're very methodical in how they go through it. They're very slow paced in that culture of making a decision. But once they make a decision, then they execute masterfully. In America, we're like, just, you know, put me in, coach, I'll just go do it. I'll figure it out. And you don't think about anything sometimes, and then it's just go, 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 go until you get to excellence. And so same thing, you know, education, you can get there a couple different ways. And, you know, you can either go to the School of Hard Knocks like I did, and trust me, I'm educated. I just learned a little different way than some others. So, well, that's great information, and we'll wrap up the segment here in just a moment. But I do want to cover a couple of things before we wrap up. And we've talked about, you know, some different things you've gone through. But are there any major obstacles that you've had in life that really were tough to get through, but now you've pushed through them and you're glad that you did?
Sure. A bit of an emotional thing. I had my best friend commit suicide. That was, I'd say, 5 or 6 years ago, and that was just like a very hard thing to get through. Was a childhood friend growing up, and just a tragic thing. And you know, nothing in life prepares you for that. And you know, people deal with things differently. And you know, I miss him every day, and that's probably, you know, one of the hardest days that I can remember was, you know, getting the news and all that stuff. sorry to bring the energy down a little bit.
No. Well, and here's the deal. And that's a difficult thing, you know. And I was actually listening to Tim Ferriss the other day, and I think he wrote a big article a long time ago as it related to suicide and some of the issues. Where he went to school in Princeton, there was just a lot of pressure, and you know, a lot of people are superstars until they get to that elite university level, and then all of a sudden everybody's a superstar like they were, and then there's some superstars, and there's a lot of pressure and different things, and that's something to be aware of, that it's out there, you know. And we were talking at our church the other day, and our pastor was bringing up how, you know, how important it is to sit down at the dinner table. He was telling a story about some kids. I think they were from Ohio, and I think they were like 15 or 16 years old, and the girl had gotten pregnant, and she was so devastated by what she thought her parents were going to reject, or just, you know, it was just going to be such a problem, that she ultimately committed suicide.
Oh.
And then as soon as the boy found out she committed suicide, he committed suicide. And this is like in the last, you know, month or so.
It's
definitely tragic. And the importance of parents, you know, sitting down with their children at dinner time and just saying, hey, what's going on? How are you doing? You know, what's going on in your world? You know, is there anything that's not, you know, good in your world? You know, so that you can, because what in the world would make, you know, a kid think that life is so bad that that's their only option? I don't know. But, you know, obviously there's some massive things. And so, you know, hey, you talk about, you know, sorry for bringing the show down. Hey, no, I don't think you did. That may have highlighted something. Maybe somebody's listening to this, that they've got kids and they're busy entrepreneurs and they're a little too busy. And you can be that. I've definitely been accused of that in the past. And maybe this strikes a chord with them that, you know what, I need to eat dinner with my kids tonight and just talk to them. And maybe that makes a difference for somebody. So, you know, that's the kind of stuff we talk about here. And man, I appreciate you bringing that up. And we'll talk about a lot more stuff, you know, with Tommy right after a quick word from our sponsors. We really appreciate you tuning in. If you like what you're hearing, you can like us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter. Go to LinkedIn, whatever the case is. We're on all the social medias. And we'll hear more about Tommy's career pursuits right after a brief word.
Another RepairMyCreditNow.com story.
It's a day this family had dreamed of for quite some time. They were finally getting that brand new SUV. The salesperson at the auto dealership gave them the keys and told them to take it for the weekend. He'd prepared the documents and called them Monday morning. The kids had already installed the headrest DVD when the phone rang. Seems there was a problem with their credit they were unaware of. They'd have to return the SUV to the dealership immediately. Embarrassing, to say the least.
www.repairmycreditnow.com.
Hello, this is Doug Parker with RepairMyCreditNow.com. Do you have less than perfect credit, a repo, maybe some late payments, a collection account? Are they being reported accurately? Studies show that over 70% of Americans have inaccuracies on their credit reports. Where do you fit in? Go to RepairMyCreditNow.com for your free credit report evaluation. And remember, your credit is your future. If you want to get started now, log on now. RepairMyCreditNow.com.
RepairMyCreditNow.com. www.repairmycreditnow.com.
All right, we're back on the Ambitious Radio Network, and today we've got Tommy Carter with us. And this guy is working out. He's making it happen. He's an entrepreneur. He's doing CrossFit Immortals, the name of his business, and really just knocking it out of the park. So, we alluded to it a little bit earlier, but I want to talk about CrossFit, what it is, how do you monetize your efforts, and for those that have seen the little CrossFit, stuff pop up all over town, what is that really that you do?
Sure. So to give you the official definition, we have constantly varied functional movements performed at a high intensity. And really it's a full circle exercise program. We don't specialize in one area of fitness. We like to pull from all corners and make up just these awesome full body blast workouts. We do weightlifting training. We do a lot of calisthenics, body weights, pull-ups, push-ups, squats. We use the kettlebells. We use plyometrics where we're jumping on boxes, things like that. We run, we bike, we row, we pull from the endurance world. So it's a very convenient approach to fitness for those that live a busy life. Our business is a one-hour class where people will come in for a one-hour class, get in and out in 1 hour, and leave there just feeling spent and also accomplished.
So, a couple of things I've seen, pop up over, the last little while, and I'll tell on myself a little bit. I'm not a big exercise guy. I'm like I said, I'm too busy. So I've got a pull-up bar in my building, and then I've got some little perfect push-ups. And, a couple times a week, I'll just, I'll do some, maybe three sets of 50 push-ups or something a couple times a day, and then I'll do some pull-ups or something, which is not enough, but that's the extent of my exercise because it's tough for me to go invest an hour plus travels plus, all the, getting cleaned up and all that kind of stuff. But I see these gyms popping up all over the place, and it's almost like, they'll be in like a little warehouse section or something, and it's just like CrossFit. So I see them all over the place. Is CrossFit like a title? Is that like jujitsu? Is it, what is that?
Great question. So CrossFit is more of a methodology. Like it's an approach to how to train. Okay. Now, if you see CrossFit on a sign outside of a building, hopefully that facility took the proper steps to make their business legitimate with the CrossFit brand name. Okay. And there's like some red tape you have to go through if you want to put CrossFit on your door. You can't just use that name for free.
What do you mean? So CrossFit is like a company or something, or is it a brand?
Yeah.
Or what is it?
It both. It's most definitely a brand. And you can only really use CrossFit like to market and promote if you are a licensed CrossFit affiliate, okay? And there are some steps to opening up your own affiliate. Would you like me to run through those with you?
I would for a couple reasons. So number one, I'm totally ignorant to this, so I had no idea that was even a thing. But number two, how it relates specifically to just general business. If I had started, doing CrossFit, exercise, and I thought, man, I could do this better than this guy can, I might would go start a CrossFit gym because that's just the kind of guy I am. And, through ignorance, I might, get myself in trouble because I go throw Doug's CrossFit gym, on the wall somewhere, and that could be a violation. And the reason why I want to go over it is because so many business people kind of have that concept or entrepreneurs where they think, I can do it better than this guy, and they go do something, and what they don't realize is from a name similarity or something along those lines, they don't start exactly with the end in mind. It just kind of proliferates, and then all of a sudden they've got a company, and they may be violating something. So let's use this as an example of, here's what you have to do for CrossFit, but that same methodology should apply to any business that you're doing kind of some due diligence. So let's talk about, it doesn't sound like it's exactly a franchise, but it's something kind of like that. So just kind of explain the methodology of how you have to go about getting CrossFit certified or CrossFit licensed to be able to use that.
Sure. So, the terminology, it's important to know the difference. We're considered an affiliate of CrossFit and not a franchise. CrossFit we don't do any revenue sharing with CrossFit. They don't take any profits from me. They don't instruct me on how to operate or run my business. I purely license the name CrossFit to use. Now the steps to make that happen. Very first thing you have to do, if you're interested in opening up a CrossFit affiliate, you have to attend what's called the CrossFit Level 1 Certificate course. And what that is a two-day weekend course. It's an amazing 2 days just learning the ins and outs of what makes CrossFit so awesome and cool. It's a lot of lecture-based stuff where you're sitting in front of a whiteboard and there's one of the seminar staff members taking you through nutrition, how to program workouts, and then there's a lot of practical stuff where you're on your feet, you're learning proper squat mechanics, you're learning proper deadlift mechanics. At the end of the two-day course, they make you take a test, and as long as you pass the test, you can move on to step two. Step two, you then have to apply with CrossFit headquarters. Now this is years back that I did it. At the time it was, you had to submit pretty much like an essay explaining why they should let you open an affiliate. Assuming you wrote some good stuff there and they like what you said, they will grant you the permission to then take the next step to open the affiliate. Step after that, you got to find a location. You got to get the proper insurance, and then you got to pay CrossFit. And once all those things are in line, you can open up. And we pay yearly dues to CrossFit HQ, again, to license the name.
Very good. And obviously you see value in that because it's something that you're doing on an ongoing basis. And so there's a process, you know, for going through that. So, you know, whether it's CrossFit or any other business, it may be a franchise, it may be an affiliate, there's different models and different things, but you want to make sure that you educate yourself on, you know, what the realities are there, because I've had a couple of intellectual property attorneys on the show as well. And, you know, that's what these guys do. They defend people against, you know, those types of issues. And so sometimes it's, you know, you can blow a lot of money, and it's really hard to make money in general in this world, to have to give it away to an attorney to have them, you know, protect you from a lawsuit. And then number two, you may have to pay out some kind of settlement, you know, and that's even worse. So, you know, start with the end in mind. Get with the, you know, a licensed attorney or folks that, you know, that have experience in those areas to make sure you cross your T's and dot your I's. Now, let's talk about, you know, how you generate the majority of your revenue. I know you said that people come in for 1 hour classes. Do they do coaching? Is it just like you're running, you know, classes every hour on the hour, or what does that look like?
At the core of our business, it's group fitness. And that's what we do very well. There's some magic with the group fitness, and why it's such a draw is because just the general community and atmosphere, right? And energy that you just pull from people. If you and I are standing next to each other doing a workout and I just see you busting your butt, that motivates me to go a little bit harder, you know? So the results that come out of group training, I believe, is second to none. So a big majority of our business is group training. We do offer private training. We do work with, you know, high school sports teams. But everything is, for the most part, group fitness.
You know, and that working side by side. Now, I'm not comparing anybody to a horse, so hold on for a second before you get all upset. But I saw a picture one time. It was an analogy. It showed two horses. And each horse could pull like 7,500 pounds or something to that effect. But when they tethered them together side by side, they could pull, you know, you would think 15,000, but they could pull 22,500. And something about them being tethered together and side by side and working in conjunction with one another, they could pull 50% more weight than they could, you know, without that, or whatever the math is that's to that effect. But anyway, it was a lot more. And, you know, that's impressive that, you know, it's one, there's people that are ultra disciplined that can do stuff on their own, but in general, you know, humans like to do things with other humans, and, you know, we like to work, you know, just to work together and make stuff happen. So that's a good point, man. It is hard to believe we are already at the end of another segment here, but I do want to see if I can blast through maybe one or two more quick questions, because it's just great information that you've got here. Can you tell us about maybe, you know, one of the personal habits that's contributed most to your success? And it doesn't have to be in your current business, but in general in life.
Sure. Personal habits. I think of myself as a leader who walks the walk. I'm very disciplined with training myself. I'm very disciplined in the way I eat. I take care of myself, the way I sleep. And I think to be an effective leader, your members, your team, your staff, they need to see that. I also do every workout that I program for my members. So, you know, they're going through some tough workouts. Guess what? I did them too. And I think people just respond to you a lot better that way, knowing that you're in it also.
You know, that's no different than it is with leading within an organization, you know, or leading in your home or anything else. It's not the, you know, do what I say. It's people do what you do. And when you're out there leading them, it makes a huge, huge difference. And that's, you know, great stuff for ambitioners. If you like what you're hearing, you can text the word ambitious to 69922. That's ambitious to 69922. Yes, that is a real number you can text to. It's a commercial short code, so standard messaging rates do apply. See the website for more details. And next, we'll be talking more to Tommy about the ambitious things that he's doing now and what's next and how he goes through that decision-making process right here on the Ambitious Radio Network. Hello, this is Doug Parker, and I have been working with loan officers for over two decades. And if you're looking for a new mortgage, I want to introduce you to Jeff Janash. He's with Town Square Mortgage. This guy's got programs for every situation, whether you're self-employed, you need down payment assistance, a cash out refinance for debt consolidation. They can even do jumbo loans with 10% down. Rates are very competitive. Their service exceeds expectations. They're a two-time five-star professional award winner. Very quick turnarounds. They can actually get loans closed in 3 weeks. A great program to be part of if you want to get in, get out, don't want to play a bunch of games. These guys are here local and can take really good care of you. I've known Jeff for many, many years, and he's actually available after hours. Give Jeff Janash a call, 972-292-7599, or you can go to tsmlending.com. That's tsmlending.com. T like town, S for square, M for mortgage, lending.com. Town Square Mortgage, 17300 Dallas Parkway, Suite 1030, Dallas, Texas, 75248. NMLS ID, 169224. All right, today we're talking to Tommy Carter of Immortal Fitness. And no, wait a minute. What's the name of your company again? Let's start that over again here real quick.
Both of those work, CrossFit Immortal and Immortal Fitness.
All right, so give me just a second here. I'm gonna do that again here. I don't know what I came up with that. It just popped into my mouth.
Doug, it's funny you said that. My LLC name is Immortal Fitness.
Yeah, let's jump in real quick and let's talk about, you know, that decision-making processes and how you go through those things. You know, the reality is that, you know, you haven't always done CrossFit. You made a decision at some point that you wanted to go into CrossFit. And we talked a little bit about you being a teacher and, you know, wanting to be a teacher and going and getting educated and doing all the things necessary. I don't know if you ultimately got a teaching certificate or whatever the equivalent is to do that. But you made a decision to you know, be a business person. How did you go through that process and truly decide, you know what, I'm not going to go the teaching route. I'm going to do the business route, and then I'm going to do the CrossFit piece.
Sure. Well, just talking about the schooling earlier, I was at that time just done with school and was just kind of hungry to start making some money. So that's why I jumped into the staffing business. I had that opportunity presented to me. And again, it was some good experience there. Learned a good amount about business. That was kind of the birth of like some mentoring and leadership, because over a couple years I started to grow a team under me. So again, some just great experience there. And then, like I had mentioned, I just started doing CrossFit, and man, I loved it. Like, just was drinking the Kool-Aid hard. And I remember this specific day. I was in the gym, and then this was when I was living in Manhattan, and I was just helping my buddy out on a specific movement. It's called a muscle up. And for those that are at home listening, I have no idea what that is. Imagine there's a pair of rings hanging from the ceiling, and you jump up and you're hanging from the rings, and then you pull yourself up and then over and on top of the rings, and then press yourself out. So you go from underneath the rings to being all of a sudden on top of the rings. Just an awesome upper body pull and push movement. So anyway, I was helping my friend trying to get his first one. I gave him a couple like little coaching cues, and then bang, he got his first one, and he came off the rings and just like picked me up and hugged me like he was smiling from ear to ear. And I was like, and he was just so thankful to me for helping him. And that's when I was like, wow, okay, this is awesome. Like I just had like an impact on this guy. And that's when I knew that, okay, I want to train people. There was a bit of a rocky road after that with making the change. I was financially doing pretty well, working as a recruiter. And then the whole startup thing of going from making money to making zero, you know, there was a bit of a gamble. And I joke with my mother and father about this now. My dad was like, do it, you got to go for it. And my mom was like, I just don't know. And I always give her crap now about that because, you know, thankfully it worked out. But at the time she was kind of like pulling me in the other direction. So definitely a lot of uncertainty if you know, if what I was doing was right, but I was just so passionate about it that I was just like, okay, I gotta make this work. So happy I did follow that path.
So let's talk about that planning session, because I have a lot of people that, you know, that are listening, and you know, over the years I've talked to people where they mention they're kind of that entrepreneur stage. You know, they want to be an entrepreneur, but they're not there yet. But they say things like, well, I'm tired of working for my boss or whatever, right? And that's, unfortunately, that's the mentality for a lot of people as to why they sure want to be an entrepreneur. They don't realize is that once you don't have a boss to report to, you no longer have a boss to hand stuff off to either, or handle the problems or the heat or the whatever. So let's talk about, did you plan for that time of life? Did you save? Did you stockpile some cash? Did you say, hey, look, I've got a 90-day, 6 months, a 1 year, you know, and then I'm going to, you know, flip and do something different? What did that planning session look like when you said, hey, I'm going to walk away from a good income and then I'm going to do this? Or did you, you know, dip your toe in the water and do a little bit, little bit, little bit until you, you know, got it going?
Sure. So, yeah, when I figured out that I wanted to do that, it was like, okay, what do I need? First, the space, and second, some money. Just to, you know, outfit the gym with some equipment, do any necessary build outs of the space, things like that. Was fortunate enough to get approved for a loan, a personal loan, got a personal loan and put it right into the business. So again, a big gamble, left a good paying job, took out some money with not one client, pumped it right into opening this gym, and then kind of like went with the mentality like, hey, if I build it, they'll come. Luckily they did. And then growing the business since then, it's always about reinvesting in the business. I think that's a concept I understand well. And I think the retention is solid with the business, because the members of the gym are always seeing upgrades and changes and more equipment and a cleaner place and all that stuff. So I would say I'm aggressive on that front when it comes to putting back into the business.
That makes a lot of sense. And so now you mentioned kind of how you went about doing it. Now, did you ever have any fears during that time? You know,
oh hell yeah, man.
Okay. All right. So what yeah. was what would you say were maybe one, the number one, or maybe a couple of the fears that you had during that time? And then how did you, you know, kind of persevere through that?
Sure. Well, and the reason why I was able to really go for it, because at the time, no wife, no kids, no mortgage, that made it a little bit easier for me. If I did screw up, I would be on the hook for some money, but I wouldn't be letting down, you know, my wife and all that stuff. So,
is that because you don't have a wife and all that stuff? Is that what you're saying?
I'm happily married now.
Oh, okay. Okay.
at the time when I opened the gym, this was again, going on over 4 years ago, I didn't have all those external things going on. So that made it a little bit easier. Now, again, I was on the hook for some money with the loan. So there was a ton of stress with that. You know, just again, I immediately had a loan payment, but I didn't have one customer. So, yeah, you know, went through a period where I didn't pay myself a cent, was at the gym crack of dawn, there late. I'm still doing that where I'm there early in the morning, getting home late. But yeah, there was that first, I'd say at least 12 months where, you know, a lot of uncertainty.
You know, and so you're going through that time, and then obviously, you know, it stabilizes a bit, and you kind of, as you mentioned, now you're happily married, and you kind of go through that process, but that can be real scary. I mean, it's, you know, I was doing an interview the other day with one of our guests, and they were talking about, you know, running a company like it's bootstrapped. And, you know, that's where you're, you know, like you were just kind of describing there, where you've got a little bit, but you're running it like you don't have these big reserves, and you know, that you should run your company like it's bootstrapped forever. Because if you don't do that, what winds up happening is somebody else that's running theirs like it is bootstrapped will come out and innovate at a level that's superior to yours. And then
I love that mindset.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
They'll take away your market share, and it's just kind of a little different deal. And you know, the other interview, this guy, he was talking about how one of his competitors, you know, they were a massively growing company. I mean, it went from like, I think it was maybe $3 or $4 million a year to $70 million a year in 1 year. And part of that was by acquisition. But one of the things that they did was they acquired one of their competitors because they thought, man, we'll take this competitor out of the market and we'll take it over and we'll just take them out of the market. And what he didn't realize, he said, was that their competitors, they just liked them better than they did than their own company. And so they acquired this company.
Wow.
It was a massive failure because the people, the customers, all the things that they acquired, they didn't like doing business with them their way. That's why they were with the competitor. And it was a train wreck because they invested a bunch of money.
Wow.
And, you know, so there's just different things that you got to, you know, obviously got to be aware of out there. So so let's talk about this. And you may not necessarily have this out there, but we talked about how you got into the business you're in now, but let's talk about what's next. And the kind of, as we wrap up the segment, is there anything specifically that you've got on the horizon that's next, either from a different business model, different business practices, or, you know, you mentioned, hey, you add equipment, you've done different things there, but is there anything that's kind of on the horizon right now for you?
Sure. All of my energy, effort, and focus is just trying to make the current place better. And that's it. You know, people ask me often, like, you know, do you want to open up a second location? And I love the idea of that. And maybe one day that opportunity will present itself, but there's still so much more I could be doing better at my current place. From a class perspective, I mentioned that our core business is the CrossFit training, right? But now we're starting to offer some just specialty classes that are just different from that, just to kind of diversify our offerings and just offer more. Not everyone likes their steak rare. I do. So having options is just a good way to attract more. And that's kind of my focus over the next several months.
So not everyone likes their steaks rare. I like that. That's a good analogy. It really is. And, you know, different strokes for different folks. There's a thousand ways to say it, but that's great, you know, great information. And after we hear another brief word from our sponsor, we'll be right back with Tommy to discuss more about how he recharges his ambitious body, mind, and spirit right here on the Ambitious Radio Network. Are you tired of paying too much for electricity from the former monopolies and getting terrible customer service? Do you really even know how much you're paying per kilowatt? Sometimes they quote you a lower rate, but then add back in the delivery charge. Ugh, how frustrating. Go to electricity.guru, that's right, .guru, for your free analysis. Who knows, with just a few referrals, you could actually earn free electricity. If you're tired of paying outrageous electricity bills, do something about it. Would you like to get a significant discount or even get free electricity? Go to electricity.guru and compare our rates to what you're currently paying. Many
many of our clients are saving anywhere from 15 to 20%. We also have a referral program that allows you to earn free electricity. Yes, free electricity. And you cannot beat free cents per kilowatt. Award-winning service, competitive rates, and low deposits, if even required. Go to electricity.guru for more details. That's electricity.guru. We offer free energy credits to customers who refer and activate 15 or more qualified customers to our electricity service and are not passed through on their bill. To get your free energy credit, your customers must be referred through the free customer gathering website. See electricity.guru for more details.
All right, we're back on the Ambitious Radio Network, and we've got Tommy Carter with us, and I'm taking all kinds of notes of just different things he's sharing with us, and it really is great how, you know, it can apply to business. And you know, one of the things we want to kind of wrap up the show with is the segment where we talk about just kind of recharging, because, you know, you talked about as an entrepreneur, you're out there grinding it out, you're taking risks, you've got a different level of intensity. And, you know, I've said this a few times on the show, but, you know, now that I'm, you know, entrepreneur and have been for the last, I think maybe about 15 years, you know, I just work half days now. And, you know, a lot of times when people think half days, they're thinking, you know, maybe 8 to noon or something like that. Well, my half days is, you know, just half of the 24. It's like, you know, something like 7 in the morning to about 7 at night. And, you know, I'm sure with you running a gym, you know, you probably work some crazy hours too. So what is it that you do to recharge, and kind of what's your daily rhythm like?
Yeah, sure. My day starts usually around 4:30 in the morning. Get my ass up out of bed with a big cup of coffee. And then I'll try to eat something, just because I'm usually in the gym, either teaching classes, doing privates, from about 5:30 to about 11. And that little meal is important for me, because I'm one of those people that gets crazy when they're hungry. So I'll usually have some type of like smoothie, just like a mix of oats, maybe some almond milk, peanut butter, and then a good scoop of protein powder in there, and I feel real good after that. The day's a long day. After those morning classes wrap up, then I'm trying to take care of any business things, whether it be responding to members' emails or, you know, new client inquiries, things like that. It's very important to me that I find some time to train myself. And you asked me, like, what are things that I do to, like, you know, recharge? You know, that's one of them. I feel so great after I finish a workout. It's like it's very therapeutic for me. It's a bit of a stress relief. I think better after a workout. So I don't spend a ton of time in the gym, like actually training myself, but I will make time, even if it's just a 10, 15, 20 minute little circuit, get something in over the course of the day. The gym gets really busy in the afternoon again, right around like 4 o'clock. And depending on the day of the week, I do have other coaches who work different days and hours. I might be back in the gym in the afternoon, and I'm there till probably our last class finishes at 8:30. So again, a pretty long day.
So you're up at, you said up at 4:30, and then you get a little something to eat, go through the day, do your work, and then, so you're actually in the gym by around 5:30.
We have a class that starts at 5:30. So, I'll be there at like, let's say 5 after 5.
Okay. So 5 after 5 until 8:30 PM.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. So I'm throwing that out there, because all the listeners out there that you want to be an entrepreneur, I'm just trying to kind of prepare you to let you know kind of what a day looks like now. And that's probably like 3 days a week, right?
Those hours, yes, at least 3 days a week.
Okay, what about the rest of the week? Is it kind of you got somebody else kind of opening and closing sometimes?
Depending on the day, I have some other trainers who are fantastic. I want to give them a shout out, Amanda and Will. Those guys are the core of the staff, and they keep the engine going. They're a huge help, and they're in there a couple nights a week. Saturdays. We have morning classes, which I teach. I love to train, so I'll get up nice and early on a Saturday, get to the gym before classes start, train myself, and then I'm fired up and ready to go for classes Saturday morning. Sundays, I try to do my best, and this is something that I've been working on, is just being a better husband that can spend more time with my wife. I try to leave all the business stuff and gym stuff out of the equation on Sunday. Doesn't always happen, but something that I'm working on to be better at.
You know, and this is from a friend of mine named Brian Flanagan, that years ago he kind of told me this, and it was he's a public speaker. He worked with Zig Ziglar for about 30 years, and Brian used to say, the best time to tell your wife you love her, and the answer is before somebody else does. So the reality is keeping that wife happy and carving sure. out some alone time. And again, this is not directed necessarily towards you, it's towards me, it's towards everybody. The reality is you have to carve out time, and I actually went to lunch with a guy yesterday that I respect a lot, great guy, and he was just saying how he's been married for I think 28 years is coming up on, and he was talking about how much he just loves his wife and how they've got one night per week on Thursday nights that is barring some nuclear fallout situation, it is date night. And so it's not to be interrupted by anything that's just not an emergency. And it's been that way. And hey, somebody's been married for 28 years. You can learn a thing or two from them. So that's great. Just great information. And again, that's what we try to provide here, is do interviews where we can walk away with people that are similarly, business oriented and doing things that, hey, how do you get through those things? And what have you? So we talked a little bit about, kind of how you balance your life and some of those things. Do you have any, I know you said you like to exercise. Now, are you a TV watcher? Do you like to go to the movies? Is there any specific thing that you like to absorb or books that you sure. like to go through?
Don't really watch TV during the week. I'm a huge movie guy. I love action movies. I love all the Marvel series. I have a man cave in my house. If you walked downstairs into the basement, you'd think a 12-year-old boy lives there. I'm a big, what else do I like? Game of Thrones. Who doesn't love that show? Game of Thrones. Awesome.
I've never seen an episode of
what?
It. It's on HBO or something, isn't it? Or some pay channel.
Doug, when we finish this up, get your ass in front of the TV, put on some on demand and just sit back and relax.
I don't even have HBO. I don't have any pay channels. So I'm not a huge TV guy. I mean, I watch a little bit, but I did see one time a buddy of mine said, "Hey man, you got to watch this." I'm like, "What is it?" And it was some kind of Game of Thrones, but it was like on YouTube or something. And it was some big giant that some dude thought he was going to beat up this giant, and the giant grabbed his head and crushed his head or something.
Dude,
crazy
I know
like that.
That episode. I know that episode. It's good stuff.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, it looks like it's a pretty intense show. What about books? Are you a reader at all?
I do love to read. Finding time is hard. I do a lot of audio stuff, like on my drives over to the gym, books on tape and stuff like that. Talking about books, let's see. Probably one of my all-time favorites, by Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People. That's a classic among classics. Have you ever read that?
Oh, multiple times. Matter of fact, I read it last year for probably the 10th time. I mean, I try to. That's one of them that I try to go through every year or two, just because it's
hell yeah.
filled so full of just great information that even though it was written, however long ago, it's still applicable in this day and age. And I'm in a different season of my life every time I read it, and there's something else that stands out to me. So, yeah, that's a phenomenal one.
Yeah, that's awesome. Stephen Covey's awesome. The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. That's a classic. I like Stephen Pressfield a lot. A short read, or great read. His book is called Turning Pro. Kind of talking about the difference between an amateur and a professional, and just some cool stuff that's just applicable to any type of business, industry, whatever it is that you're doing.
That is good stuff. Now, any favorite quotes? Anybody you follow out there? Athletes or otherwise that are just like, this guy's got it going on, and there's a few things I've liked that he said over the years.
Sure. Let me think here. Love Kobe Bryant. I'm not a huge basketball person, but was just drawn to Kobe. If you read up on him, what you find is that he is just a workhorse. He's retired now, but all of his success came from just long hours in the gym. There was a quote that he gave at the 2016 the ESPY Awards, and he was up there receiving, I think it was the Icon Award, And he said, I'm not up on this stage just because of my talent or ability. He says, I'm up here because of 4 a.m., which just resonated with me. You know, there's probably way more guys over the course of the NBA history that may have had more talent or natural ability, but few put in the man hours that he did. Also, because it's 4 a.m. and I wake up at 4:30.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm like, okay. Yeah, so I'm like, hell yeah. When he said that, I'm like, yeah, that just hit home with me.
You know, I'll tell you, I've watched some things on Kobe over the years, and that dude, you're talking about being a beast. He is absolutely that. Works harder in the gym. He and Seth Curry both. I mean, I watched one on Seth Curry when he was in high school. He went to, it was some kind of a, you know, prep type deal in the summertime. And I think maybe he was a freshman or sophomore even. He was a tiny little guy in the deal. And whenever, you know, all the other people were there, you know, listening to their headphones or whatever. And you can, there's a YouTube video on it. It's like this, you know, this kid is here. He ties his shoes up. He gets in there. He's shooting free throws. And then at the end of every single practice that they had, every single day, he shot free throws until he got 100 in a row. Okay.
Same.
If he missed one, he started over again until he got 100 in a row. And then you look at why, you know, the guy's doing what he's doing now. You know, luck is when preparation meets opportunity, right? So you got to be prepared. I mean, it's good to be lucky, but if you're not prepared for the luck that gets, you know, given to you, the reality is it doesn't do you any good. So, man, that is great information. Now, as we kind of wrap up, obviously, you know, you're a local guy there in the New York area. So if someone's down here in Texas and they wanted to come work out, they're going to have to find them a CrossFit gym down here. But do a little plug for yourself for those that are listening that are in your area that could come by and check it out. And then if people wanted to interact with you, are you social? Are you on the web? What's the best way? Do you have a website? Those kind of things.
Sure. Well, let me start by saying for those that don't live in the New York area, go check out CrossFit.com. Along the top, you can find the affiliates tab. You're able to punch in your zip code, and then you can search all the nearby CrossFit affiliates. Go check them out. Go get a workout and just try it out. That's what I would encourage anyone to do that's maybe interested in trying CrossFit. If you do happen to live in the New York area, we're in Pleasantville, which is a short train ride from Manhattan. Come in, check us out, join us for a workout. The website of the gym is cfimmortal.com. You can follow us on Instagram at CrossFitImmortal, all one word.
Perfect. Well, man, I have really enjoyed having you on the show. A little different mix, you know, because you've got all the exercise-centric talk, but it's all business talk as well. And so it was great to have you on the show. Really learned a whole bunch of things that had to do with affiliate programs and licensing as opposed to franchises and stuff. So that was great information. Really appreciate you coming on.
Doug, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to speak to me.
Yes, sir, absolutely. And we want to thank our sponsors once again. We couldn't do it, you know, without you. Tune in on Saturdays to Ambitious Radio, where we interview exciting entrepreneurs changing the faces of their organizations and, in this case, changing the bodies, I'm sure, of their customers. Remember, you can make money or you can make excuses, but you cannot make both. So go out there and be ambitious.
Thank you for listening to the Ambitious Radio Network, hosted by serial entrepreneur Doug Parker. Join us weekly as we have engaging conversations with ambitious entrepreneurs and thought leaders on topics that can be applied immediately after listening. Like what you've heard? Listen to other interviews at ambitiousradio.com or subscribe on iTunes.